This is our key verse today. It's Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Everyone say ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, therefore, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I'm going to unpack this, but can I please pray right now? Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word is so powerful. It is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now you would prepare each of us. Prepare our heart, Lord, for your word as a seed to be planted. And let us all be transformed by the renewing of our mind here this morning. And Lord, I thank you. I sense in this atmosphere and I speak over this atmosphere that today will be more than just listening to words. But I ask in faith, every one of us, myself included, would catch the heart of God. We would catch a burden from heaven in our spirit, man, here today, not one missed, in the name of Jesus. So we open our ears, we bind every email and Instagram and TikTok notification, and we just set our eyes on you. And everyone said, amen, amen. Can we give the band a big hand? You can take your seats. So good, so good. Well, you can turn to the person next to you and say, you look beautiful today. Hope that puts a smile on your face. Why don't you turn to the other person who's slightly less attractive than the person you chose to turn to and let them know that you're beautiful too, I guess. Hopefully you turn to your spouse. I've learned that lesson the hard way. This week on Thursday, just gone, the 20th of November, actually Ebony and I realized about a week ago, it marked 10 years since I got on a knee and asked her to be my wife. That's pretty exciting, 10 years. And I was wondering today, would you want to hear a little bit about how I proposed? Yeah, all right. I got to just like say it from the start. I am a crazy person, okay? Like, I'm so sorry, other young... Oh, there's a photo already. And I reckon I'm the first person in history to propose to his wife in a bucket hat. Like, isn't that the most unsexy, unromantic thing? I'm so glad it's blurred right now. But I got to tell you, I had like a run sheet for a whole weekend, okay? Oh, I was madly in love. I still am. But I remember I had a run sheet. I had run sheet meetings with my mom and everyone involved, and I delegated and I empowered other people, and I prayed about it. I had a vision about it, and it was so much fun. And I remember I actually wrote a poem. That's how I proposed. And these are said if I entered them into a competition, it would probably win awards. I did not say that. She said that. I think. I should bring the poem one time. I've actually forgotten it, sorry, but it was really good. You got to trust me. But the last line of the poem said, here by the ocean, I'm just thinking this through, I give you my heart. No, that's wrong. Anyway, but it ended on, will you marry me? And she said, yes. Congratulations to her for putting up for me with 10 years, but I love you, sweetheart. And 10 years. And do you know the funny thing about falling in love that I've learned is you begin to do things that are a bit foreign to you. You do things that you'd never done before or do before. Can anyone maybe relate to that a little bit? Like, for example, before I knew Ebony, I hated dance floors and dancing. Like, if you asked me what's your worst nightmare, it would be me in the middle of a dance circle and everyone looking at me. Yet, here, 10 years later, we were dancing together just on Thursday night at Zach and Lily's wedding. Congratulations again, Ben and Emily. Let's give them a cheer. Gave away their first daughter to a great young man. It was a beautiful day. Before knowing Ebony, I did not like Beyonce. Now when the single ladies comes on, I get excited, if you know what I'm saying. And she's caught me listening to it without her. Before knowing Ebony, I did not like Disney movies. I liked war movies where there was violence and action and excitement. And yet now on a Friday night, this real man poster boy can be found watching a Disney princess show with Ebony. Before knowing Ebony, I didn't care about fashion and how I looked. And to be fair, I still don't, but she helps me out, which aren't wives the best? But the point of this is the more you fall in love with someone, the more you begin to love what they love. The more you fall in love with someone, the more you catch in your heart what is in their heart. And I have to tell you here today what I have discovered. The more I fall in love with Jesus Christ, the more intimate I get with him, which by the by is the goal and the desire of every disciple, right? We want to be growing closer to Jesus. And the closer I get to him, the more I found my heart has been transformed to begin to love what he loves. Begin to catch what is in the very heart of God. The more I fall in love with him, the more I begin to see what he sees, hear what he hears, and feel what he feels. And there are so many things in the heart of God that are wonderful and beautiful, but I wanted to double down here this morning on one key aspect of what is in God's heart. Give me a wave. Who would find that helpful here this morning? Now, I had to choose from 100 scriptures, but let me go through four quickly. Our first question is, what's in God's heart for people who do not know him? If we can look together at 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Apostle Peter says this, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That reveals something very special in the heart of God. Let's read another one, 1 Timothy 2, 3-4. Now we're going over to the Apostle Paul. He said, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people. Everyone say all people. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I love this because it reveals in God's heart, he desperately wants every single human being alive today, who has passed away before or who will ever live. He desperately, desperately wants them to come into relationship with him. Your prodigal child, God desperately wants them to be saved and to repent. Your work colleague, God's heart beats for them to know him. Your neighbor who lives next to you, who's a little bit annoying every now and then and doesn't put their rubbish out and is loud, God wants them to be saved. Your barber, your barista, your barrister, I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool. The three B's, God wants them to be saved. In fact, the person who annoys you most on this earth, okay, let's just be real, God's heart beats for them to be saved. His heart is beating that they would not perish. Not one excluded. That's in the heart of God. A second question is, well, why did God send Jesus Christ? What was the mission of the Son of God, the most important man to ever live, who was God himself? Luke 19:10, Jesus tells us himself. He says, guys, you want to know what my heart beats for, what my mission was? He said, for the Son of Man, which means Jesus, for the Son of Man came to what? To seek and to save the lost. I love this because it shows Jesus saying, guys, if I could strip back my heart and you could see what it beats for, why I wake up, why I do what I do, ultimately why he humbled himself and went to the cross, why to seek and save those that were lost. That's the why he left heaven, the why he humbly came and sacrificed that to be born in a manger, the why he suffered the cross. And one last quick scripture. What brings the most joy to God? When does the heavens party like never before? Well, Jesus told us again in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, in a parable. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing. Everyone say rejoicing. I love this. Come on, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Do you know what that tells me? Every week here at C3 Powerhouse on the Sunshine Coast in Melbourne East and in Sydney, when we give an altar call and someone makes a decision to follow Jesus, all of heaven stops and then the loudest rejoicing shout and partying happens because someone gave their life to him, because someone was plucked from darkness into light, from hell into heaven, from lost to found. Amen? And so what should bring you and I the most joy? Let's circle back. Ebony loves dancing. Ebony loves Beyonce. Ebony loves Disney. I therefore do the same. And the more I've fallen in love with her, the more I naturally have done what she loves. From the beginning, God has loved people. His heart beats for people. And to the end, he will love people. He loves you. He loves me. He loves people. And before I go any further, I actually want to press pause on my message and just take an opportunity to ask if there was anyone here this morning. And maybe you have never entered into a relationship with God. Today, I'm sharing a little bit about who he is, about his heart. And I got to tell you, don't let it just get to your head. It's not some broad concept out there. I want everyone in this room to know that God himself loves you individually. You may have never known Jesus personally. You may have never been to a church before. You may have once followed him but drifted away. Maybe you had a terrible experience with a Christian who judged you and turned you off God. And if so, I'm so sorry for that. But I want you to hear me today, friend. He loves you desperately. You're the reason he sent his son. You're the reason Jesus left heaven and the highest power and authority to be humbled, wrapped himself in human flesh, became fully God, fully man, and walked to that cross. He chose to die for you and for me. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross. The Bible actually says that Jesus chose the cross. The Bible says at any time either could have, at one word, called legions of angels to come and defeat everyone who was against him. But Jesus, the Bible tells us here, the author of Hebrews said he endured, he chose the cross. But the most amazing thing is it says, for the joy set before him. And that tells us what was in his heart, to seek and save the lost. Can I tell you, friend, as he was carrying that cross with a crown of thorns on his head, being cursed at, beaten, insulted, he was completely alone. All of his disciples and friends had abandoned him, and he's walking to that cross, barely looking human, the Bible says. He was hurt so bad. But can I tell you what was on his mind? What was beating in his heart? He saw your face. And he said, if I can just endure this cross for the joy set before me, I see them saved. I see them in heaven. I see them in relationship with me. And he chose to die. Isn't that incredible, friend? The heart of God. He paid a price for our sins that you and I could be forgiven. If I can just read one last verse, Romans 10:9, verse 10. You might be sitting here saying, Dan, that sounds amazing, but what must I do to be saved? How can I receive this gift of salvation? Well, Paul said in Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is incredible. All we need to do is make a decision in faith that I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, in what he did for me on the cross. And in a moment, our sins, everything wrong we've ever done gets forgiven, and we are in right standing in relationship with God. Can I just ask us all to close our eyes just for a moment? Because this verse says we need to say something out loud. We need to declare with our mouth. And what we're going to do in about 1 minute is I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. It's a prayer doing what this verse says. It's a prayer I prayed 13 years ago when I was far from God, and it completely transformed my life. And if you're here today and you've never said a prayer inviting Jesus into your life, if you're here today and you were once following God, but now you're far from him, or you're just not 100% sure you're going to heaven, right now with eyes closed, in a moment, I'm just going to get you to simply raise your hand. And that means I know who I'm praying with. But I know there are people in this room. God is calling you into relationship with him. This one decision could transform your heart and your life forever, just as it did mine. So right now, if you're in the room and you'd like to be included in this prayer and be forgiven of your sin and put your faith in Jesus right now, can you just simply raise your hand just so I know who I'm praying with? Say, Dan, that's me. If that's you, can you just raise your hand now so I know who I'm praying with? I know there's someone in this room and God's speaking to you. And if that's you, I don't want to draw this out, but if that's you, can I encourage you to be really bold? Thank you. I see your hand over there. That's wonderful. Is there someone else here today who would like to respond to this? Who's saying, Dan, I'd love to have my sins forgiven and put my faith in Jesus and begin a relationship with him. As I just wait one more moment, his love is so wonderful and he loves you so desperately. This is the most important decision you and I can make on this earth. So as I look across this room one last time, if that's you, be bold. Make that decision. Can you just simply raise your hand now? Say, Dan, that's me. I'd love to receive Jesus. Awesome. So good. All right, let's say this nice and loud together. But if you raised your hand, I want you to mean these words to God. Let's repeat after me. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for me and my sin. Today, I repent. I say sorry for all my sins. Forgive me. I give you my life. I declare with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ forgives me, died for me. Fill me with your spirit. Show me how to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, can we rejoice with heaven right now for that person who just responded? Congratulations. Come on, more joy in heaven. So special, and I just love God. There's nothing better than a relationship with him. Congratulations if that was you here this morning. We'd love to connect with you after the service. Well, guys, in the rest of this time we have together, I want to share on you a topic called the heart of God. And if I'm really honest with you, what I'm sharing with you is something I'm growing in myself. It's something I'm definitely not perfect at, and we could all grow in. And I believe until the day we go to heaven, we can all grow in. And so I'm asking if you would join me in committing to grow in this area. And this area is catching the heart of God for the lost. So if I circle back to what I shared before, the more we fall in love with someone, the more we love what they love. And so here this morning, if I could ask us all to do a heart check, if I could take each of you out for coffee and or a hot chocolate or a chai, choose your poison. But if it isn't coffee, I reckon you're crazy. But anyway, I love caffeine. I'm an addict. But if I could sit you down, okay, and if I could ask you three questions, if I could ask myself three questions. Number one, how passionate do you feel about seeing unsaved people come to Jesus? And even right now, I just want you to reflect and answer that. You might be honest and say, Dan, it's like a 2 out of 10 if I'm real. Maybe you're like Florence. Where are you, Florence? And you're like, I'm a 10 out of 10, hot fire, going for it. That's Florence, girl. You're amazing. But I love that question. Number two, how intentional have we been in the last 3 months about seeing lost people come to Jesus? Got quiet. I'm sorry if we're feeling a bit convicted. I'm feeling convicted too. And then my last one, when is the last time you shared your faith, your testimony, or invited someone to church? Now, I ask these questions not that anyone would feel guilty. As I said, I am feeling a good conviction. But today, I want us all to catch something in the spirit that is the heart of God and to take a next step to prioritize what matters most to him. And what matters most to him is his lost sons and daughters. Now, thank the Lord I haven't been there yet. Has any parent lost their child at like a stadium or a shopping center? Yep, Zoe, Jen. All right, this looks like a matter of time until I will. I might have lost him right now. I can't see him. But I can imagine it's not a very nice feeling. Is that right, Zoe? the anxiety, the heart racing, you know, and just that desire to find your child must, like, would you do anything? Would you climb a 10-foot wall? Would you punch Steve in the arm? I don't know, I'm just making things up. Would you run? You'd run a marathon. You'd do anything to get your daughter found. That's how God feels every day. And I want to look at one last verse about, well, what qualifies us, okay? You might be sitting here going, Dan, I haven't done Bible college. Dan, I'm not confident. Dan, I barely know one Bible verse. Dan, I'm terrified and you make me feel sick right now talking about it. Dan, I'm not an evangelist. Why can't I leave that to the Florences and the Troys of this world? Dan, I haven't had it prophesied over me, so I'll just wait. I really believe none of those things qualify us, okay? Yes, there are evangelists and that's their calling. But Paul said we all have to do the work of an evangelist. Isaiah chapter 6, 8 verse 9. We're talking to a young man named Isaiah. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Can I tell you right now, God in heaven is talking, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he's looking at your workplace. He's looking at your street. He's looking at your university and your school. He's looking at your neighborhood, your gym, and they're talking, saying, whom will go for us? Whom can I send? And I love Isaiah. He heard the heartbeat of God. Now, Isaiah had not done Bible college. He was not confident. In fact, he was terrified. But he said this powerful line. He said, Lord, here I am, send me. And the eyes of God went on Isaiah. And he's like, wow, I've found someone. Okay, go. Go and say to these people. So what qualified this young man named Isaiah? Can I tell you in two words? It was willingness and it was availability. If you and I can keep a willing heart, Lord, even though it might be a bit intimidating, even though it interrupts me, even though it will require to be uncomfortable and bold, Lord, I'm willing. If you would like to use me to reach someone, I'm willing. And God, I'm available. In my busy life, come on, who knows, we live life at 100% most days. Can you be interrupted in the Woolworths checkout line if God says, go and pray for that person? Woo, in the school pickup line and you're late for Connect Group and your kids are going crazy and God says, can you go? Are you and I living interruptible? If you're willing to be used by God, God is willing to use you. So let me share three practical thoughts, okay? Well, how can you and I do this, okay? If I'm not the evangelist like Florence, if I'm not the Bible college professor like Christian, like if I'm just a Christian who loves God and has caught the heartbeat of God, how can we do this? Well, can I give you three simple steps today? Will that help anyone? All right, number one is pray and fast. We must never underestimate the power of prayer. Because it's not us who can save people. It's not us who can transform lives. It's not us who can deliver people and heal people. It is the Lord. And so we need to pray. I remember an amazing moment that God taught me a lesson I'll never forget. I was on a holiday, I think, when I was about 18 years old. And I'm reading a book of Smith Wigglesworth. And he was an evangelist, like, to the nth degree, okay? He was amazing. So much so, he would walk past people, and his shadow would touch people. And when the shadow touched them, they'd get on their knees weeping, repenting to Jesus. All right, talk about an evangelist. And I'm reading this book, and I was so inspired. I'm like, I want that kind of shadow. How cool would that be? And the shadow touches me. Anyway, and I'm like, Lord, I honestly, in my heart, though, joke aside, I said, God, I want you to use me to reach people for you. I prayed that simple prayer and I meant it. And ding, my phone goes off. I'm like, what the heck's that? I go over to it. It's a Facebook message from someone I went to high school with about 3 years ago. I had not spoken to them for 3 years. We were never close. I discovered later this girl had just at the age of 20, or 18, sorry, been diagnosed with a brain tumor and was going through hell. And she just literally texted me on Facebook a minute after I said that prayer saying, Dan, I know we haven't talked in 3 years, but I see on your social media you go to a place called church. Can I go with you this Sunday? Wow. Easiest invite ever. Yes. She comes along, she gives her life to Jesus that week. How could you give the Lord a hand? But I did nothing, okay? But the power is prayer. If you and I will pray, God, here I am, use me, can I tell you, God incidences will begin to happen. Can I encourage you, make it part of your quiet time. It can be a 30-second prayer. Lord, today I make your first priority my first priority. I am willing and available to be used by you. Give the Holy Spirit permission and he will answer your prayer. He will answer your prayer. You will find opportunities start coming up. People at work will start asking questions. Doors will begin opening. And it's because of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Bible says whatever you ask, if you believe, it will be yours. The Bible says whatever you loose in heaven and will be loosed on earth, and whatever you bind in heaven will be bound in earth. It's powerful. But then we're going to go a step deeper, okay? So that's just the availability prayer. You'll find on your seats today, we have a friend's prayer card. And I'd encourage us all, once God's highlighted someone for you to pray for, put their name on this. And you'll see, it actually tells us how to pray for them every day. When I first moved to Melbourne, I'd heard it was the best coffee in Australia, okay? And it's not hard because Queensland coffee is like drinking dirt, okay? But I came to Melbourne. I met some great people here. I remember it, Emily. This was 6 years ago. I said, Emily, what's your favorite cafe? She said, there's this sweet place in Heathmont called Never Regular. And so I went that week because I trusted Emily. She's a cool girl and she knows what's up. And I went there and it was a great coffee. And so I started coming back. Lockdown happens. The one outing Ebony and I could do was walk to this place and get coffee. And so there was a man there who owned the business named Skinny. How cool is that name? He was a Croatian fella, rough past, heart on the line kind of guy. And over the next few years, we built a relationship. And I remember very early on, God spoke to my heart and said, Dan, he's someone I want you to pray for. Now, that doesn't happen often to me, but my ears were open and I heard. So what do? I put Skinny's name on this friend's prayer card. I put it in my Bible. Now, I'm a pastor and I was by no means perfect, okay? So the goal is not perfection, but I made it my goal to pray for him every day. Now, in reality, was that 70% of days? Probably. But I begin to lift his name to God every day. If we can take one takeaway from today, friend, never underestimate the power of praying by name for someone who does not know Jesus. I am here today because I had a mum and a dad who prayed for me in all throughout my prodigal years. And when my heart, when I just made one tiny 0.5% of a good decision to turn to God, 0.4%, God did 99.99% because I had a family member praying. And so you'll see here, pray that the Father would draw them to Jesus. God, I pray that you would draw Skinny to Jesus. I pray today you're speaking to him. It says here, you'll read, bind the spirit that blinds them from their minds from the truth. God, I pray right now against anything that's trying to blind him from seeing you. Pray that their hearts would be softened to receive the love of God. Father, I lift Skinny's heart to you. I ask you would soften it in the name of Jesus. Remove all hurt. I'd be on my knees. Pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them. Lord, I pray, speak to him about his need for you. Let him draw him to that and pray that other believers would cross their paths and encourage them in their walk. So I would pray for him daily. I'll come back to Skinny, but can I ask you right now, friend, who are you praying for in this season? And we put these on the seat so we could take these home afresh, fill it out in a moment, and let's commit to being people who pray. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The most powerful thing we can do for our unsaved friends and family is to pray for them. And God will do the rest. So who are you praying for? And are we praying for God to use us? I hope that's encouraging. Point number two, be Christ's ambassador. Let's go back to that first verse I started with, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In the Greek, this word ambassador literally means representative. What an amazing mindset shift for us that wherever we go, we are actually representing Jesus Christ himself. this mindset changed my life. Like, I'm not just Dan, I'm not just a Christian, I'm actually an ambassador for the King of heaven and earth. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And I think this mindset will change your life as it did mine. Because now we wake up with purpose. When I go to work, I'm going with the mindset, God, I'm your ambassador in this workplace. When you go to uni, even though the lecture's boring as heck, you're going, I'm Christ's ambassador in this uni. When you go to your family gatherings, to your neighborhood parties, to your gym, and you're sweating along someone you barely know, I am Christ's ambassador. I am representing Jesus. I believe how we treat people matters so much more to Jesus than we initially consider. Can I share with you a quote my mum shared with me when I was a young person? I've never forgotten it. Every day we share the gospel, but every now and then we use words. Our life is often the first Bible anyone will ever read. Are we a good representation of Christ in this season? So I remember with Skinny, I started praying for him, but that was the first step. Then I started going, how can I be your representative, Jesus? And I would purposely remember details about his life. I'd ask how his kids are going by name and his partner. I'd be available when he wanted to chat. Sometimes I'd be in a rush and I could tell he was having a bad day. We'd sit down and 30 minutes later, he's still talking to me. And Ebony's like, where are you? Just joking. I'd take him out for coffee. As our relationship deepened, we begin to go out and have coffee, and I'd pay for his coffee, I'd pay for lunch, and I'd just do everything I could to be generous. I'd text him when he was in a tough place. And can I tell you, it didn't take much, but just being that 1%, I was kind to him as best as I could. I was generous. I would just invest in our relationship. Can I tell you, his heart opened more and more to me. And God was using my life as a vessel of his love pouring into this broken man's heart. Most people meet a Christian before they meet Jesus. And we need to represent him well. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not the judgment of God. Our job as Christians is not to judge the world. Our job is to love the world, because it's the goodness of God that will lead them to repentance, and the Holy Spirit will convict them. That's not the Christians who convict them. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So can I encourage us? Let's choose to love people, the people we work with, the people we come across. Let's be the most generous people in Ringwood. Let's be the most kind people in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. Let's love people with the love of Jesus. And can I tell you, it will open their hearts to you, but more importantly, it will open their hearts to God. We are a vessel of his love. This looks like things like shouting someone a coffee, being kind and encouraging with words, so anti-cultural, inviting them over for dinner, avoiding gossip, being the kindest person they know. Be like Mahala and be the biggest smile when you see them in the workplace. Be integrous. In a world that is desperately unkind, unloving, and selfish, when we are kind and generous, when we are a good ambassador, it will make an imprint that will last a lifetime. And I can invite the band up. So I've talked, number one, let's pray for them. Number two, let's be Christ's ambassadors. And number three, there comes a moment when we discern from the Holy Spirit when it's time to go the bold and invite someone to church. And I got to tell you, if you feel a little bit nervous about this, welcome to the club. I've never met someone who's like, this is easy, I don't get nervous at all. Maybe there's a few evangelists like that out there. But if you're anything like me, your heart starts beating like crazy. You start getting a little bit of the shakes. You're nervous. You're worried about what they're going to think about you. You're worried they're going to say no. You're worried they're going to think you're weird. If you have those thoughts, that's okay. Okay, that makes you human. But you and I need to make a decision. Are we going to let our fear stop us potentially seeing someone come to the house of the Lord? Or are we going to overcome our fear with boldness and potentially see an invite turn to someone's eternity being changed forever? How good's that? On the other side of boldness, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and I, there is one trademark. You see it all through the books of Acts. The Holy Spirit makes us bold. So if you're feeling timid, we need more of the Holy Spirit, because when he comes upon us in power, we have courage and boldness to be who he's called us to be. Amen? And so skinny, all right, now I'm an impatient person, okay? I like things to be quick, efficient. Just ask my wife, and she's amening right now. From the moment I met Skinny, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit say go for about 4 years. And I was so discouraged. I'm like, he's been on my prayer list for 4 years. Why has he never come? Why is he, like, do I just give up? I was so discouraged. But one morning I was praying for him, as I tried to do most days, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to reach out to him. I call him. He's in an incredibly dark place. I said, mate, let's go out for coffee. I take him to coffee, and I just ask him questions about his life. Mate, what's going on? How's your relationship? And he was talking to me. And guys, in the middle of a coffee shop, this tough man in his 40s who said he hadn't cried in years, he just began weeping because the love of Jesus was touching him. All I did was loved and cared for him. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Den, share your story. I shared my 3-minute testimony about how Jesus transformed my life. And I said, mate, I'm here for you always, but if I can tell you, just like my story, Jesus is the one who can help you. Hey, do you want to come to church this Sunday? I'll pick you up or I'll meet you at the front. And he said, yes. 4 years later, I was like, thank the Lord, okay? But then I texted him Friday. I texted him Saturday. I texted him Sunday morning. I said, I'm going to be at the front waiting for you. And he comes. And he comes and sits on the front row. And he's there. I see him crying during worship. And when the time came for the altar call, he puts his hand up and gave his life to Jesus. How awesome is that? All glory to God. Our testimony has power. And to land this message, guys, we're about to just have a moment where we're going to worship. And my challenge, okay, there's no pressure. This is just if you'd like to join. But we have our Christmas service coming up in 2 weeks. And I've personally found through all my years of being a Christian, it is the easiest invite. We put a lot of effort in as a church. We want to make it the most friendly service for unsaved people. We literally build it from beginning to end with your prodigal son or daughter in mind, with your unsaved work colleague in mind. And really, I want to encourage us all in a moment. We're going to wait on the Lord and we're just going to say, God, who is the one person on your heart? And my prayer today is each of us would get one name, which represents one soul, one precious son or daughter of God. And in a moment, we're going to write their name on a bit of paper. We're going to come down the front and just lay it on the altar and commit it to God. I haven't spoken to Deb yet. I'm sorry, Deb. But then our intercessory prayer team and our staff, we're going to be praying over their names with you by name for the next 2 weeks. And we're going to partner together in prayer. And if you're feeling this challenge, I'm feeling it myself. God's already told me my one. And I skipped the gun. I'm so sorry. I actually invited him last night. Sorry. I was hoping to do it after today, but God told me to. But my commitment, if you want to join me, is let's commit to pray for them every day for the next 2 weeks. Let's commit to fast one meal between now and Christmas just for them. And let's commit, if the Holy Spirit gives us the moment, to invite them to church. Yeah. Give me a wave. Who feels like they could do that in the next 2 weeks? Who wants to join me? So right now, why don't we just look to God? Holy Spirit, I am asking that we would all receive a fresh burden from your very heart. Lord, let us feel what you feel and see what you see. Lord, I pray, let it not be words. Let it be a supernatural impartation right in this atmosphere by your Holy Spirit, that we would catch the very heart of God. And we just give you permission right now. We are willing. We are available. Give us a name of someone on your heart, Lord. Amen. If I can just finish on one last thought before you take your seat. I've had so many joys in over the years of being a Christian, a pastor now, like in all kinds of things. But can I tell you, I've found nothing has brought me more joy personally than seeing someone I prayed for, I fasted for, someone I went the bold to and was an ambassador to see them come to church, to see them give their life to Jesus. I got to tell you, friends, nothing has brought me more joy. And I'm praying with you and for you that over these next 2 weeks together, you'll share that joy as we go in faith. Now, hey, if they say no, that's totally okay. Once again, it's up to God. We did our part, but let's be bold. Let's catch the very heart of God. And I just want you to know I'm so proud of each of you for stepping out for Jesus. Can't wait to see how many people are going to come into the knowledge of Jesus. That's our vision, right? To see lives transformed. So you guys can grab your seat, and it's been a privilege to share. I hope you feel encouraged. I'm going to invite up.